Okay, well, I'm looking forward to sharing God's word with you tonight. And the subject I'm going to share with you is very, very critical. So I want to, just a second here. Oh, I got to put you guys back on mute, huh? There we go. All right. Here we go. So there's one great thing that really makes a difference in God's Word and with the Heavenly Father. And what do you think that might be? What is the one great thing that really pleases our Heavenly Father? That just is the one thing that makes a difference for Him.
Believing.
All right, believing. We got two folks together. Yes, yes. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith or believing, it is impossible to please Him. And this thing of believing and faith is a big deal. Our God, our Heavenly Father, wants to be believed in. He wants us to believe His word. He wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to have confidence in Him. Why? Well, He wants us in His family, right? He wants us to believe, to get born again, to get saved. But what's the rest of that verse in Hebrews 11:6 says? Because I just quoted you the first part of it. The second part of it says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. God wants to reward us. He wants to see us blessed. And all we need to do is believe his word, believe his promises, trust in what he says, and so that he can impart great power, healing, deliverance, meet our needs in every situation under every category. So he wants to bless you. He wants to take care of us. And all we need to do is believe. Now, you might be saying, okay, but sounds like we're going to have another teaching on believing. You know, we have all these teachings on believing. Here's another one. Well, I guess so. And tonight I'm being a little selfish because, pardon me, I need to believe God bigger than I do in the past. And I need to grow in my ability to confess the word and believe it and see it come to pass in my life. So if you guys don't want to listen to it, if you've heard too many teachings on believing, that's fine. I'm going to share this for my benefit at least, okay? All right. I know you guys will get blessed. It's a figure of speech, okay? All right, good deal. Well, there are many books, a lot of books on believing, really, huh? A lot of keys out there on how to believe. And I'm not about to reveal any great secrets on believing, any systems, keys on increasing your believing. Really, I don't want you to do anything special. I have no formula for you. In fact, I don't want you to do one darn thing. And that's my advice to you. Stop working so hard to believe. Everybody they have a situation come up or whatever, and they, oh, I gotta believe, and they work so hard. You don't have to work hard to believe and get results. All you have to do is say yes to the Word of God. Say yes to what God's Word says. So take a break, chill out, don't work so hard at your believing. Just have fun accepting what God's Word says. In the Olympics, there's a figure skating guy named Nathan Chin, right? Chun?
Chin.
And It was interesting because just the other day they were doing a little biography on him, a background. In the last Olympics, he was touted to be the number one skater. And when he did his short program, there are three jumps that you got to do, and he fell on all three of them.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. He was devastated. And, of course, he didn't win any medals or anything else like that. Well, as time went on, he practiced. He did well in all the other tournaments that they had throughout the world. And now he's come here for this Olympics. And, man, I tell you, I bet he could be pretty nervous, right? Stressed out in light of what happened in the past. But in this interview, he said, you know, I've had some success since that time. Practice hard. And you know what? I'm here to have fun. And I'm just going to have fun and do my best. And he goes out and he scores the highest score that's ever been scored in the short program.
Wow.
So I think he's skating tonight on the long program. So we'll see how he does. But I thought, now that's a good little key on believing, that you get yourself prepared, you learn what you can do, then you go out and just have fun doing it. Mm-hmm. Go out and have a blast. And that's maybe what we can do when it comes to believing God's word, where we don't stress and get all uptight, but that we just settle down and simply say yes to God's word. We want to discipline our minds to stay focused on God's word, right? Mm-hmm. And we lead captive every thought to Christ, but we don't want to stress out on it. We know God's word, and certainly it takes a knowledge of knowing who God is, his goodness, how wonderful he is, and then what he's made available. And with that simple knowledge, then all we need to do is say yes to it, to receive it. It was interesting, as I was thinking about this teaching, it was a couple days ago, and we were sitting in our living room in the morning. This is pretty much what we do every morning. Jeannie and I get up, and she always is up before I am. But she fixes me a nice cup of tea, and we sit out here, pray, drink our tea, read the word. And sometimes we get inspired. We start writing, and Jeannie has her journal book she writes in. And I had something I was inspired with. And she had something she wanted to share with me, but she kind of hesitated because she didn't want to interrupt what I was doing. And then finally she had to interrupt, right in the middle, preparing my teaching. But you know what? It was perfect, because what she shared was exactly what I was working on in my teaching here. And it was perfect. And I would have probably never found this resource. And what it was, she was reading this article with the Copeland magazine, Victory magazine, and Gloria Copeland had a neat little teaching in here, and she was all excited about it. And this is what she wanted to share with me, and this is exactly what I needed to hear to finish off the teaching. So I'm going to share from this magazine for you tonight. And the headline, she's got the title, and then she'll have some headlines within the article itself. And this says, "Faith declares the end result." Notice that each one of those people spoke words of faith to Jesus. Now, she's referring to three people, and you'll know who they are in a moment, in a previous part of the article. Let me go on. They didn't just moan and cry and talk to him about how bad things were. The woman with the issue of blood, number one, okay, you're familiar with that one probably. She said, "I shall be made well." Jairus said of his daughter, she shall live. And the third one, the centurion, said, my servant shall be healed. That's the way faith talks. Faith doesn't say, I hope so, or maybe something will happen. It declares the end result. Over the years, people have often testified in healing school that they begin saying, long before coming to the meeting, I'm going to be healed in that service. And sure enough, Jesus did for them what they said, because they had already released their faith with their words. Sometimes they get healed the moment they walk through the door. This is where people miss it a lot of times. They don't release their faith. They just go to God and tell him how sick they are. They just keep praying the problem. When all you do is pray the problem, you don't give God anything to work with. He knows about the problem. He knows if you're sick. He wants to hear what you're believing to receive. Mm-hmm. He wants you to speak faith so he can make you well. God's system is a faith system. It always works the same way. You believe in your heart what he says and confess it with your mouth. That's not only how you get born again. And remember, that is how you get born again. You confess with your mouth, right? Believe in your heart. It is how to receive anything from God, including healing, financial prosperity, and every other blessing. So I was real blessed to hear that. I trust you are too. That we don't have to get so involved with the problem, but let's talk to God about what the solution is. Now, there's another resource I wanted to share with you, and this is a little booklet called Praying Grace by David Holland. And there's some wonderful things along the same line that I've been sharing with you. The title of this little article is Faith is a Force, Not a Work. Have you ever heard a description of faith that sounded a lot like performing well enough, long enough to earn God's approval, or running for so long and so hard that you eventually cross some unseen, invisible finish line arbitrarily drawn by God? Have you heard faith portrayed as some sort of spiritual muscle that you have to work strenuously for and exhaustingly to build up? Have you heard anyone talk about accumulating enough faith to move God? The fact is, genuine biblical faith is none of these. Don't misunderstand, faith is vitally important. Jesus constantly praised it. He encouraged it and was clearly disappointed when his disciples didn't have it. The word is used in the New Testament more than 250 times. Faith is good and extraordinarily powerful, but faith isn't a work that qualifies you to receive an answer from God. Faith is a spiritual force that takes hold of the answer God has already joyfully provided. Another word for faith is simply belief. When we believe God, believe in his utter goodness, kindness, and faithfulness. Believe he is for us. Believe his word. Believe that Jesus' sacrifice was all sufficient. Believe that our acceptance by God is based in Jesus' perfect performance and not our own. Our faith reaches out and accesses what God has given. Isn't that neat? In other words, faith isn't something you do to get God to move. It's the calm, confident assurance that he has already moved. That's everything you could ever need has been abundantly supplied through Jesus' victory. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. I really think that communicates very well. very well. You know, and let me say this. I get it. There are times in our life as human beings that we need to pour out our heart to God. There are times we need to cry to Him. We need to just pour out whatever's going on. That's okay, okay? That's okay to pour your heart out to God. But do it to empty your heart, to get rid of all your ill feelings and how bad you feel and how upset you may be. Get it out. Cry on His shoulder. He's okay with that. But empty your heart of the problem so you can confess the results desired.
Amen.
Jeannie did not too long ago, and we looked up the date. It was January 23rd, and a very insightful teaching along these lines titled, Are You Sleeping? And the truth she highlighted was, are you resting in the full confidence in the promises of God? You know, I taught back in December the 5th, the art of doing nothing. Some of you remember that, huh? It was all about not having some special feeling, but it was about knowing. Do we know who we are in Christ? Do we know the promises of God? Jesus did all the work. We rest in Him and do nothing but accept His promise and His healing. You know, there's this great verse, and I've shared it before. It's in Philemon. It's verse 6. Philemon's so short, it doesn't have a chapter. But verse 6 says, that the fellowship of thy faith, believing, may become effectual or energized by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It's acknowledging, saying yes to God's word, saying yes, I am born again of God's Spirit. I am a child of God. I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can do the things that Christ did and even greater things. So take a break. Take a break. And know in the depth of your heart who you really are. Who are you? You're a child of God. You're His chosen one. He called you before the foundation of the world. We heard great manifestations about who we are. So don't work so hard to believe, but have simple acceptance and confidence in what Christ has accomplished for you, for your benefit, and then receive His deliverance, His blessing, His healing to the glory of God. Okay? All right. Well, I want to play a song for you to close out here. Give me a second. Here we go. Father, thank you for, again, how you love us and care for us and provide for us. We're real thankful that we can be in your family, that we can call you Father, and we can be your kids, your children. And I'm thankful, Father, that all we need to do with you is to ask, to claim your promises, confess your word, and you will do it. We don't have to get all excited. Just simply believe and receive. So thank you for making it so easy, too easy. But you're just so loving and caring for us. And we thank you, Father. We praise you and thank you for the privilege we have to live in these times and to be effective in the family of God, that we can give and serve and participate in the great outreach of your word and holding forth the words of life. So we're just grateful, Father, and thankful for how you love us and care for us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.